Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessed day. What a blessed day to be here to worship. It's an honor and privilege to be able to bring forth the message from the Word of God. It really is. It's a privilege. And as I was thinking about and preparing for this message, I was contemplating what do we really need to hear from the Lord at this time? We're, as a church and as individuals, we have really gone through a lot these last years, and a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. All of us. So today, I want to focus on the fullness and the glory of God. So turn with me to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We can go home. No. Let's pray. Father, oh Father, we come before you with humble hearts. Lord, would you remove the distractions of this world, the distractions of all the suffering and pain, and all the heartaches and the madness of this world. Father, would you focus our heart and our life on your glory and how our lives can reflect Christ. Father, there's so many hindrances and distractions. I pray that your word would speak forth to us today. This is the word of the living God. May it pierce to our heart, pierce to the bone and marrow of our soul, that all of our trophies, all of our accomplishments, all of our proud success is laid at the cross. It means nothing if we are not abiding in Christ. Father, may you speak your truth today. We love you and praise you. And let us focus and quiet our hearts, or to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lives as Christians should reflect the holiness of God. And in all things, bring glory to God. Those are just not words. Those need to penetrate our heart. Let me just read a few things from the Word of God. Hebrews 1:3, Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of His nature, His being, His person. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Just grasp that a little bit. Think about that. Psalms 156. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're a note taker, I'll go slow. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All. It doesn't leave anything out. We do it all for the glory of God. John Piper has a saying that he uses a lot. You might have heard it. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Think about that. Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For theirs, heart, their life will be satisfied. Hunger and thirst. Have you ever had hunger pains? Have you ever been really thirsty? That's the intensity that the Lord wants us to come to go after, the hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's a longing and a yearning in your heart to live a righteous and holy life, to satisfy you. The world cannot satisfy you. The flesh can't satisfy you. You can do it all and you can try everything, but it will not satisfy your heart and soul. We cannot glorify God if we don't love and treasure Him. Our greatest desire and our yearning should always be and continuously be to know, trust, and serve and worship and love our God. Through all trials, through all tribulation, whatever we go through. A.W. Pink said this. He said, an unknown God can neither be trusted, served, or worshipped. If you don't know God and this glory of God and who He is and what He's done, you're not going to trust Him. You're not going to serve Him, and you're not going to worship Him. To know God and His salvation plan is the greatest need of every man and woman on earth. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. How you as a Christian view God will affect every word, every thought, every behavior in your walk of holiness. And how you view God as a non-Christian will either lead to salvation and eternal life or to judgment and eternal damnation. When we look at the pages of God's Word, the glory of God begins to display itself. His holiness, His majesty, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace, His loving kindness, His sovereignty over everything. He's all powerful. He's sovereign over everything. He's omniscient. He is the creator of all things. He created us out of the dust. I mean, when it rains, the dust gets muddy. He created us out of dust, mud. That's the God that we love and serve. He created us by Him and for Him. What else is the glory of God? His wonderful works. They're marvelous. They're fearfully complex. His word is perfect. It is trustworthy. It is right and true. It's radiant and pure. It's firm. It's precious. And His law is holy and good. His salvation is astonishing, really. It's a miracle that we are raised from the dead. We're dead to sin. We're slaves of sin in our flesh. And in this miracle of God, He draws our hearts to Christ by faith and repentance and restores our relationship with God. It's astonishing. We're nothing. We have nothing. Why did God choose me? I'm nothing. It is great. The salvation is great. It's needed. We need it, or we will die in the judgment of God and the wrath of God. This view of God changes our perspective and transforms our life and heart. We begin to yield and surrender and submit to His authority in our life. The character of our life is conforming us to be like Christ. So our love and our devotion and our worship should be a great treasure in our life and desire of our heart. That should be the greatest desire of our heart. To love and be devoted and worship the Lord. Our hearts are overwhelmed with this majesty and goodness of God. We could do nothing. We can do nothing but glorify Him when we think about it that way. There's nothing left to do but glorify God. And glorifying God is praising Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him, giving Him glory that He deserves. It's humbling ourselves before God with adoration and devotion. So if you're at Ephesians 3:14 still, make sure you're there, because we're going to be looking at a lot of verses today. So how can we as believers and as a church glorify God? You know, we're living in some dark, evil days. Agree? Immorality, violence, economic decline, wars, rumors of wars, homelessness, drug addiction, mental illness, identity crisis, mindlessness, no conscience. And correct me if I'm wrong, but for the first time in the history of our country, our government is becoming anti-God. People are becoming anti-God. Christians are being persecuted for their beliefs and convictions. What is evil is looked at as good. If you're a kind, loving person, you're looked at as evil. False teaching is prevalent and it's spreading in the churches like cancer. As our culture declines and hostility towards Christians increase, the temptations for us is to compromise the truth. It's really a compromise. It weighs heavy on the Christian. And it gets more intense. As we will see in our text today, and this verse is that it's not enough to know the Bible. Wish I could take these off. We will see in our text it's not enough to know the Bible and understand some doctrine. As a church or an individual, believers need to live our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, with biblical integrity, rooted and grounded in Christ. By our Christ-like character, and our words, and our actions, and our attitudes, this is what God uses to influence the world around us. It influences your relationships. It influences your workplace. It influences your schools, your communities. It's the life of Christ in you that God uses to influence others. As we read through our text today, Paul is praying here. This is a prayer of Paul. And he's praying for all Christians that we will live by five glorious foundational principles. And I thank the Lord that I got two Sundays, because there is no way you can exhaust the glory of God in a lifetime or how we live for Christ. There's no way. So we're going to look at these five principles. They're essential to cultivate, be rooted and grounded in, and forged in our mind and heart. Forge these five principles that Paul's praying for. It's for the will and purpose and the glory of God. And he's praying for that we be filled with the fullness of God. So you're at chapter 3. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. With that in mind, thinking about all of the glory of God, how we're to live, let's look at this. For this reason, 14, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. So 14 and 15, Paul is bowing before the Father, pleading with him, praying with him, that according to something, we will be able to live Christ-like and bring glory to God. So he's bowing his knee, he's pleading with the Lord, and it's for all the saints. He says, before the Father, every family on heaven and earth. It's all for the saints, the believers. Then he says, but for this reason, what reason is he praying? Well, he just explained in chapters 1 and 2 the great blessing that we have in Christ, the great riches that we have in Christ, that we are instilled with the Holy Spirit. We understand God's sovereignty. We know that we've been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. We are adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knows the struggle that we have. He knows our struggles. The Ephesian church had lots of struggles. They were living in a pagan culture. We're living in a pagan culture. So he understands. And Paul's heart is always about others. He's always praying for others. But he also knows that we've been blessed. We have been blessed and given everything for life and godliness. And he just explains that in 1 and 2, and we'll get to that in a minute. But this is the reason why he's praying this prayer. We are representatives of Christ. He's saying, you're representatives of Christ in this world as a church, not just an individual believer, but as a church. We represent Christ. So Paul here is exhorting us. Think about this. Really get this. He's exhorting us to mature, to grow deeper. I don't care how long we've been Christians. We can always grow in maturity and a deeper love for the Lord and a deeper walk of holiness for Him. And that our life will reflect Christ. That's his prayer. But he's going to give us some principles to follow. We've got to follow him. Paul knows it's not enough to just have a lot of head knowledge about God. We need to have a humble, submitted, devoted, loving, obedient heart. Not just a head. And this is the experience of the love of God. This is a relationship that we're in with God. God loves us. And he's brought us into a relationship through Jesus Christ. So we're experiencing a relationship that means something to us. And he wants us to grow and grow deeper in that understanding. To love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's look at the first principle. It's found in verse 16. Verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. So the first principle there, as we see it, it's according to the riches of his glory. First principle is according to the riches of God's glory that he does something. According to his riches in glory. It's not what we've done that we live this life for Christ and we live a holy life. It's not what we do. It's all what God has done and what he's doing in our life and what he's going to do. These riches are limitless and no one really can fathom this riches of glory that are in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. I can't even imagine what God's got in store for us. But think about it. Think about it. Because he wants us to think about those things. Not just here and now, but think about the glory of God to come and how glorious it will be for us. And some of us are older, so we think about it more. So notice Paul is saying here, it's according to God's riches in glory. It's according to his riches. It's something because of, or what we already have. Flip over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. We're going to stay pretty close in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, starting at verse 3. These are the riches of Christ. Just a few of them. Not even exhaustible at all, but these are the riches. Blessed be, starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to his will and purpose, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And look at verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. We have the glorious riches of Christ as Christians. It's the righteousness of Christ, sealed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, destined to eternal life in the presence of the glorious God and Savior. Think about that for a minute. Just think about it. How glorious that is. These are the riches of God's glory in Christ. These are the riches the believers have now. But there's more to come. There's more to come. More glorious. This is why the gospel of Christ is such amazing good news. It's amazing good news. So we need to continually remind ourselves of the glorious riches in Christ. Meditate day and night in the Word and prayer. Meditate, just let me be clear. There's a lot of meditation that goes on out here in the world, and it's not godly. Meditate simply means to think deeply about the Word of God. Think about it night and day. Think about the glorious riches in Christ that you have. Think about it every day deeply. If your heart doesn't leap for joy in these riches of Christ's glory, you're probably focusing on the flesh and not the Spirit. Too much on the flesh and your problems and your issues and your things and your suffering, whatever it is, or all of your accomplishments or all the things you want to do. The second principle is found in verse 16 also. The second part of 16. Go back to 3:16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. Wow. Strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being. So our second principle that Paul is praying for is that God may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Now this is important to note right here. Paul is not praying for God to give these riches of Christ to us, but that God would grant believers to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit according to the riches. Because of the riches we have, we are strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very important to understand. Salvation is only by God through Christ. Sanctification is the Holy Spirit in us. Think about it for a minute. I know I don't have a lot of time, but think about this. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, all three one, living in our heart and soul. As I was reading through Exodus these last few weeks, when God was speaking to the Israelites on the Mount Sinai in the smoke, and Moses is up there, but the people are down below, they were afraid. They were afraid. In fact, they told Moses, don't let God talk to us anymore. You just talk to him. And in the wilderness, God was what? In the cloud. And in the fire at night. And in the cloud during the day. Then he was in a temple. The Spirit of God was in the temple. And that only a certain high priest would go in there once a year to the Holy of Holies. Or otherwise he would die. They used to tie a rope to him, to the high priest. And if he went in there and he had sin, unconfessed sin, he could die. So they could pull him out of there. They couldn't even go in there. Think about this. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our heart. In our life. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of Christ. In us. So be strengthened by that. Be strengthened. So, why is it so important for us to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner being? The inner being is our soul, our spirit, our heart, our mind. That's the inner being. So why is it so important? Well, I'm going to break this down in three reasons to make it easy for you taking notes. Three reasons why it's so important to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. First one is we will suffer persecution. We will suffer persecution. We're living in some dark, evil, perilous times. And the days ahead of us are very uncertain. And will be very difficult. As believers in Christ, we're facing persecution and suffering. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read just real quickly that 2 Timothy, you can write it down, but you don't have to turn to it unless you want to. 2 Timothy 10, or chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10, verse starting at verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. So Paul's saying, I'm following Christ and you're doing what I'm telling you to do also. So that's what Paul's saying there. My persecutions and suffering that happened to me in Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, which persecutions I endured, yet from all of them, the Lord rescued me. Think about that. He rescued you. He rescues us from all our persecution. And then he says this in verse 12. He says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen if you are living a life holy and a reflection of Christ for His glory. Persecution will come. So why is it important to be strengthened? Because when it comes, the persecution comes, without the strength of the Holy Spirit in our heart and soul of our inner being, when these days come, we will have no strength to endure. We won't have the strength to endure in the flesh. You can't do it. You won't endure. You will collapse in worry, stress, depression. We will stumble and crumble without Christ. We will stumble and crumble without Christ. So I'm given three reasons why it's so important. This is the second reason. Why is it so important to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, 1. Chapter 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So the second reason why it's so important is it is a commandment of God. If you don't think that's important, it is a commandment of God to live our lives worthy of the calling of God to salvation. It's a commandment to live worthy. That means to live because of these great riches that we have in Christ. We're to live with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we live. It's a righteous, holy life. Walk. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. We don't have time to turn to all these, but I will give you the reference. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if we have these riches of Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to walk in that. Our life needs to reflect that. And Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So you see the theme here is that you have to put to death that remaining sin that's in our life. There's a sin nature, a flesh still in our, we are in a body that still has flesh in it. And so you have to put to death. When you come to Christ, you're dying to self. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. So we live this life not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God. So you have to, on a daily basis, moment by moment, die to that flesh. And there's way more. I'm not exhausting anything here by any means, but I do have next Sunday. You know. So, very important. Think about this. Walking in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. It's not done in our strength. We cannot do it. We can't do it. So what is our responsibility as a Christian? All through the Word of God, it says walk in the Spirit. That means it's doing something. Put on the Spirit of God. Love God with all your heart. There's something we do. You know what our part is? Abide in Christ. It's abiding in Christ. That's our part. And we're going to develop that out a little bit, but that's our part, how we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We have to abide in Christ. So, walking in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, living by the Holy Spirit, setting your mind on the Holy Spirit, these are all have to do with abiding in Christ. It's communion with Christ. It's fellowship with Christ. It's a daily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that we are in the Word, we're in prayer, we're worshiping Him, we're meditating on His Word. Don't disconnect yourself from the Word of God, from the prayer, from worship when you're with your family or you're at work. Or you're on vacation, or you're house cleaning, or your other relationships, or you're suffering in an illness or sickness, or you have cancer, or you're being persecuted. Don't disconnect yourself from Christ, abiding in Him. Your affections, your commitment, your devotion, and your love for Christ. They need to remain. You know the word abide means remain? Remain in Christ? So we need to remain in a constant communion, abiding in Christ. And as we look, 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. All. Anything. Doing the drudgery of cleaning the house, mowing the lawn. It's all for the glory of God. Okay, the third reason why it's so important to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. It's found in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Flip over to 5, 1 and 2. 5, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Very important, probably foundational. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what's the third reason why it's so important to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit? It's a commandment of God to be imitators of Him. Our life should reflect Christ. It's a commandment to walk in love just as Christ loved us. We are the image bearers of God. And because of the riches of His glory in Christ, our lives should be Christ-like in all things. All our words, all of our attitudes, all of our thoughts and behavior. We're ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ as a church and as individuals in this world that we're in. And God uses that for the proclamation of His gospel, this amazing, glorious news. Through our lives to influence and draw people's heart to Him. It's the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. So as we're closing, how can we sum up our purpose? I have these three reasons why it's important, and we've got two principles already. But what's the purpose of our life and the church? How can we sum up the purpose? I want to just give you three things to sum it up here. The first one, what's God's will? What's His purpose for us and the church? One, be holy, sanctified, set apart for the proclamation of the gospel and for God's will, purpose, and glory. Think deeply about these things. Stay with me. It's getting better. Number two, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's summing it up in that. And then the third one, we are able to bear fruit when we're strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of God in our life. We're able to bear fruit. Bear fruit means to produce something, bring forth in your life. Something needs to come forth. What is it? The fruit of a holy and righteous life. The fruit of love. The fruit of service. I can't explain this any better than let's just look at God's word real quick. Let's turn to, we're pretty much in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. We're going to look at fruit in our life. This is what fruit should look like in your life. So turn to 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You're walking in a manner worthy. You're walking in holiness. You're walking with the power of the Holy Spirit. And where's the fruit? With all humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the fruit that comes out of a life that lives for Christ and has the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit that comes out. Love, unity, patience. Flip over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Starting at verse 11. Sorry. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, let's stop there. We have fellowship in the church. We're teaching the word of God. We're fellowshipping. We're worshiping. It's for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Each one of us, not just Pastor Bill, has that responsibility. We all have the responsibility to build one another up for the work of Christ. For the proclamation of the gospel, that our lives will reflect Christ. And then he says, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. There's another fruit, unity. The Lord is looking for the fruit of unity in the church. We need to be unified together. And then he says, to a mature manhood or a mature person. And here's that word, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we will develop that more, the fullness and glory of God. But here he's saying the fullness of Christ. In our chapter 2, at the end of our verse 14 through 21, he says to be filled with the fullness of God. And here he says, be filled with the fullness of Christ. So that you... Verse 14, so that you may no longer be children tossed to and fro, every wind of doctrine that comes along by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. But here's fruit again, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way unto him who is the head, Christ. So there's that word love again. There's unity. I don't know if you have to flip or not. Verse 22 in chapter 4, verse 22. to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on your new self, created in the likeness of God in Christ, in holiness and righteousness. So there's the fruit of holiness and righteousness. We're to put that on. So there's another word instead of walk or live in the Holy Spirit or walk in the Holy Spirit, put on. It's something we do daily. There's something we have to do daily. Meditate on that word of God, prayer. And we'll develop that out further next Sunday. Let's look at, flip over to 29, verse 29. You're still in chapter 4, verse 29. Fruit. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Watch what we say. Our words can do damage. Our life can do damage if it's not lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And boy, do I know that. I know that personally. My words matter. What I say, they can do damage to someone. Let's look at, we got time for just another one. Chapter 5, where we just saw 1 and 2. Chapter 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. There's another fruit of holiness. We are imitators of God, image bearers. We represent Christ. And we walk in love. There's another fruit, walk of love. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And Galatians, we can't miss. Let's flip over to Galatians real quick. We can't miss that one. I think everybody knows this one, but Galatians 5:22. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we don't live in immorality. We live in the fruit of the Spirit. We don't live in words and anger and attitudes of anger. I mean, there's so many things that we could point out how we live, but we need to be living by the fruit of the Spirit in our life. This love. So challenge your heart today, right now. Challenge yourself. Look at those. Love. Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have patience? Are you kind? Are you good? Are you faithful? Are you gentle? And do you have self-control? When the flesh and the world rear up with all these desires and passions and things we want to do, the Holy Spirit of God will give you self-control to not go after the flesh. So let's just close, and I'll just do a real quick review so that we have this. Why is it so important for us to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit? According to the riches of His glory. First, why it's so important? We're living in some dark, evil, and difficult days, and without the strength of the Holy Spirit, we will have no strength to endure and persevere. We will be stunted and neutralized. And we will live in fear of what's coming. We will be stunted in worry and stress and depression. In our church and our lives, it will affect the purpose that God has for us. It will affect that. So we've got to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the second reason why we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? It is a commandment of God to live our lives worthy of the calling of God to salvation. It's the second. Third thing. We are commanded by God to be imitators of God and walk in love, bearing the fruit of Christ-like character and behavior. So Paul's prayer for us in exhortation, it's an exhortation. It's a plead with God to strengthen us in the power of the Holy Spirit. To live our lives with that strength and power according to the riches of His glory. So, a review of the first principle. To know and remember we have been given the riches of Christ to live a Christ-like life for His will and His purpose and His glory. We've been given that. And the second principle that we stayed for a long time for the rest of this time, because it's so foundational. Walking, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's foundational to the next three principles that we're going to go over next Sunday. It's foundational. We have to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do what God is calling us to do in the next three. When we apply and live out these principles, God is finishing. He's accomplishing the good work He started in us. Philippians 1:6. The good work that God started in us, He will complete it. So He's finishing this work. That's sanctification. That's the process of sanctification. He is finishing the work in us. To bring us to maturity, fill us with the fullness of God and Christ and the Spirit. So you have to be here next Sunday to hear the message. Because I will. We're gonna see what we must do to abide in Christ and live in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. There's some things we have to do. We're going to look at the last three principles of Paul's prayer. And we're going to look at and understand some of the hindrances, distractions, and obstacles that keep us from living in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of distractions and hindrances and obstacles out there. And we're going to identify all the great riches of His glory. I'm going to try to do that all in next Sunday. Let me close with this. This is by Charles Bridges. And it was, he's an English pastor in the 1800s. Just think about this just for a minute. I'm going to close right after this. But just think about it. Calm your heart right now. Think about everything. But think. Let it be remembered that daily progress in the heavenly walk is not maintained by yesterday's grace. Humble and dependent prayer must fetch a fresh supply continually. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Lord, I feel my heart to be weak and prone to wander. Oh. My affections are often scattered to the ends of the earth. Raise your hand. No. Did you feel that way? My affections are often scattered to the ends of the earth. Unite my heart to fear thy name and concentrate my every thought, my every desire in you as the one object of my attraction. Let's pray. Father, oh, I come before you with humbleness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, Lord, that we can live our lives holy and sanctified as a representative of Christ, to bring you glory and honor and praise for what you have done. Oh Lord, would you incline our hearts and our minds to grow deeper, to love you more, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, incline our hearts, Lord, today, all of us, to desire more. To desire more, that we would mature and come to the stature and the fullness of God. That we would walk worthy. Oh, Father, I pray for those that don't know you, that have not come to faith and repentance in Christ. Father, that today they would come to you. Come to you. Oh Lord, I praise your holy name. Thank you for your blessing of the word in our life. I praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.